Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, are you okay out there? Ladies and gentlemen, President of the United States, Joe Biden? Whoa. Which leads me to this. If you're a conservative like I am and you were pulling for Donald Trump, and the game isn't over yet, so be careful not to. Although I did hear that any second now, Joe Biden's going to come out to a live camera and do his best to get through a statement essentially saying, hey, we believe we have the votes, blah, blah, blah. And we'll see. But let me just go to this, which I appreciated because I heard this earlier today. It was nice to hear it come from Glenn Beck. Now, as a Mormon, I'm not exactly sure how exactly in touch he is with this, but what a great reminder. And you'll recognize it. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. So try to keep, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, try to keep your spiritual acumen front and center as we go through this process. Over the next several days, could it be over the next week? Could it be over the next 2 weeks? I think it could be. And so I'm going to take you through. And I know that listen, I've been getting this stuff in my brain ad nauseum for weeks now. But now we're on the other side on November 3rd. And been saying for weeks now, I didn't really think it would be over by the time we went to bed on November 3rd, actually November 4th. I went to bed at about 3 a.m. this morning or so and slept on the wrong chair and didn't sleep well, so I'm running around on about 3 hours of sleep. Doing better, I think, than my buddy Steve Dace. He was on the blaze all last night, just doing an awesome job. And then you go to bed for a few hours and you wake up and all of a sudden things have changed a lot in the battleground states. And you're like, whoa, hold on a second, what's going on there? And then you look at here in North Carolina, and just because I had my picks out there, let me run through that real quick. And then I'm going to run through a bunch of things here. Just some updates. Stuff is moving quickly. I don't have all the answers. I'm just going to give you a few angles and some commentary here and there as we run through this and try to calm you down. Try to calm me down. And by the way, if you want to have something else to pray for, just pray for that the Republicans maintain control of the U.S. Senate. If the Republicans maintain control of the U.S. Senate, which is what it looks like right now, Susan Collins in Maine earlier today was declared the winner. So that's good. Even though she's a total rhino. But if the Republicans remain in control of the U.S. Senate, that is an awesome stopgap against Joe Biden, i.e. Kamala Harris, and the radical left, and stacking the court. Nope, they can't do that, at least not in the next 2 years. And pass radical legislation? Well, they can in the House, but they won't get it past the Senate. And so you'll have an absolute stalemate in the Congress unless the Republicans in the Senate just fold like a cheap suit. And we have yet to see on that one. But that's a big deal. If Biden wins and the Republicans remain control of the U.S. Senate, then make sure you praise the Lord for that, because that's a big deal. Okay, that's a big, effective stopgap measure. And that I'm like, okay, that feels a little bit like mercy to me. So we'll see as we go through it. Of course, Donald Trump most likely is going to win North Carolina. Tom Tillis is going to win. So that was very helpful for the U.S. Senate. Unfortunately, our good friend Dan Forrest did not win. Remarkable that Governor Cooper, who's just an absolute empty suit and has shut down this state and picked winners and losers. It's okay to go kill babies, but you can't gather in church until a federal court says otherwise. Unbelievable. But the people in North Carolina, this is a goofy state. If you live here, you know that. So I'm heartbroken for my friend, but excited to see what the Lord does with him next. Dan Forrest is an exemplary man of God, husband and father and friend and leader, and we know that the Lord will lead him. Absolutely historical, Mark Robinson, the first African-American lieutenant governor in North Carolina. That's awesome. He's going to rip roar. He will not be very quiet about the governor, so that's going to be good. We'll like that. And like North Carolina Attorney General Jim O'Neill, 10,000 votes. He's up by 10,000 votes out of 5.3 million. So there's several things here in North Carolina. And whether you live here or not, just learn the lesson. Okay? Learn the lesson. Because like our good friend Judge Paul Newby, who it looks like is going to be the Chief Justice, there's a miracle brewing there in the North Carolina Supreme Court, which has been 6-1, liberals versus conservative, Paul being the only conservative. But Paul Newby, Phil Berger, and Tamara Berenger, looks like they're going to win. But look at Paul Newby. I mean, he's ahead by 3,742 votes out of about 5.3 million. And there's a bigger picture here, okay, on how tight these races are. But that's for the Chief Justice position of the North Carolina State Supreme Court, which is a big deal for us North Carolinians because he's been trounced for several years now. All the guy does is write dissenting opinions for a living. Because he's the only conservative, the only constitutionalist, really, on the North Carolina State Supreme Court. But 3,742, that's out of the whole state, statewide, out of 5.3 million votes cast for that particular position. 3,742 votes. And you're going to tell me your vote doesn't matter? Yes, it does. North Carolina Court of Appeals, all the way down. All the ones on my list were all winners. That's great. A couple of them, margin's close. That they may do a recount. The other person can call for a recount. North Carolina Senate, not so great. NC House, a couple of big ones there, including our buddy Matthew Winslow Holmes. So that's awesome. We praise the Lord for that. We're heartbroken that my other friend, Fred Von Cannon, didn't win in District 35. But he's a man of God, an incredible businessman, great entrepreneur, father, husband, friend. So he gave it everything. His family gave it everything. And we praise the Lord for that. A great example. And that's what we're called to do, friend. You're called to be faithful. And then fruitfulness we leave in the Lord's hands. And then other places, some wins, some losses here in North Carolina. But on the federal level, obviously, we're in a big mess. So when we come back, I'm going to take through that. We're going to talk about Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, and North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Arizona. Arizona isn't done there yet, although Fox News, I think, called Michigan. They didn't call Michigan. They called Wisconsin. Just a little while ago. And allegedly, Joe Biden's out there claiming victory. I'll check in on that. A lot to talk about. Do not lose heart. Remember where your house is built. Welcome back. We were just watching here on Facebook Live. Joe Biden, not exactly claiming victory, but confident. And talking about, you know, if I'm the president, that's a nonpartisan office and I'll be the president of all the people. But I mean, we've been hearing those sentiments for a while, but the D.C. doesn't work like that. It never has. Maybe with George Washington. Okay, I'll throw you that one. One out of 45, soon to be 46. Well, I'll throw you that one. But after that, forget it. It's always been a partisan office. That's the deal. You don't get in there unless it's a partisan path. The path to the presidency is partisan. George Washington got a unanimous vote. The rest of the time, forget it. And now we're so deeply divided and evenly divided that there are razor-thin margins all over the place. This is what you're seeing as we look at all these states. You look at Georgia and Michigan and Nevada, and you look at North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, which got called by Fox, we'll see, and Arizona. And what's going on there? Razor-thin margins. So don't ever think anymore, please, that your vote doesn't count. And if you didn't vote yesterday or early, shame on you. Okay, you're part of the problem. I love you enough to say that because that's just an abdication of your duty as an American system. And I'm sure you say things about politics because I'm sure you say things about the state of the nation. But to do that and complain and whine and be upset about it, but to not participate. So as this thing slides off the left end of the cliff, part of that's on you if you did nothing. Okay. I've been saying this for as long as I've been doing radio or speaking out publicly. Okay, so remember that. Got to remember that. Okay, so let me take you through this. This is from the Federalist. This is just some overall information, okay? And then we'll watch as this unfolds over the next days and possibly even weeks. Ballot counting is delayed in these six states. So Georgia, just some updates. Trump maintains a consistent but not insurmountable lead. So if you go look at the state, if you can get into a website which shows you the state, and then you look at the areas that are still counting, and you look at, okay, are these Democrat areas or Republican areas? To me, that it gets a little dicey. I'm like, I don't feel so great about that. Less than 10% of the total remain to be counted, particularly in Metro Atlanta's DeKalb County and Savannah's Chatham County. Ballots arriving after Election Day don't count in Georgia, so we'll see on that one. Michigan's exceedingly close with a slight Trump lead. That's changed. Though late arriving ballots don't count here either. So it's just a matter of getting the million or so outstanding mailed-in ballots counted. We've got updates on these, so hold on. Nevada, Biden maintains a small lead here, although officials said they didn't know how many votes are left to count because ballots were mailed to all active registered voters and can arrive, get this, by November 10th. The outstanding ballots are largely from Clark County, Las Vegas, and are not expected to be redder than the ones already counted if this race tightens, and especially if Trump pulls ahead, expect a recount and litigation of some kind. That's in Nevada. North Carolina, he's got a lead, at least when this was written a few hours ago, 76,000 vote total. And based on where the things still are, you know, that he should hold, that was about a 200,000 mail-in ballots left to count. And they've been counting mail-in ballots here in North Carolina since they came in. They're allowed to count early here. That's a state deal. Each state has its own rules. So how do we not lock and load this stuff like the night of? This is horrible for the state of the country. It's horrible for individuals. It's horrible for parties. It's horrible for people. It's horrible for the state of the country, not no. Pennsylvania, it's the big kahuna, obviously. What everyone expects to be the tipping state, though Biden can win without it. As of Wednesday morning, Trump maintains a lead of about 500,000 votes with 1.5 million votes outstanding. Steve Dace was talking about this last night. He's talked about it pretty much every time he's been on the show. He's got this bad vibe that Pennsylvania is going to become Florida Bush Gore 2000 on crack and pour gasoline all over it and throw the devil in there. So be praying for whatever's happening here in these court cases and in Pennsylvania. By state laws, officials couldn't start processing mailed-in ballots until Election Day, which is so stupid. Though Secretary of the Commonwealth Kathy Brookvar has said that she expects the overwhelming majority of votes to be counted by Friday, the state Supreme Court controversially extended the receipt deadline to November 6th. And even more controversially, get this, so this is why this is just going to lawsuit crazy, allowed the counting of timely ballots without a postmark. Yeah, you don't need a postmark. There's no fraud available there, right? The U.S. Supreme Court split 4-4 on whether to stay the ruling. The deciding vote, of course, John Roberts, clearly prepared to kick the can down the road. One lawsuit to watch already involves election officials in Montgomery County, which is Philadelphia's suburbs, contacting voters who voted by mail and whose ballots have a defect, like a missing signature, to give the voters a chance to fix or cure the problem, apparently in violation of state law. So there's going to be all kinds of stuff going on there. Wisconsin, which Fox called earlier, but there's going to be a recount going on there. Governor Scott Walker is already talking about that, and it's within the margin. So the Trump campaign has a right to call for a recount in Wisconsin. Arizona, this is interesting. Fox News, what's going on there? Fox News last night called Arizona pretty early, and then they're defending it the rest of the night. Biden leads the state, which would be the first to flip from its 2016 result, and indeed from its longtime GOP status, by about 5% with more than 80% of the vote counted. But you know how many ballots are left outstanding at this point in Arizona? 600,000. It's unlikely that Trump comes back to take it once officials finish their count. That's according to this story. The Trump campaign pushed back ferociously. So those are the kind of the general updates. Let me give you some more specific stuff based on things that's developing even as the day goes by. Let's go back to Arizona. So major error found in Arizona results. On Wednesday, a significant error was discovered that could affect the results of the presidential election in Arizona. Edison Research data, which major news organizations, including the New York Times, utilized to report voting results, reported that 98% of precincts in Arizona had been counted, when in fact only 86% had been counted. Oops. There's 600,000 more votes to count in Arizona. Biden's ahead by 93,000. The Arizona Secretary of State came out and said, okay, don't call our state yet. We're not done. So Arizona, you got to put a question mark by. And I'm not trying to give you a false sense of security here. Personally, I'm concerned that Biden's going to win. Okay, personally. I am not feeling optimistic or confident. Sorry, just being honest with you, okay? But that's what's going on in Arizona. So take that one out of the win column for Biden and let that sit for a little bit. Okay, Michigan. Here's a story from The Blaze just earlier today. Roughly 100,000 outstanding ballots still need to be counted. Biden's lead likely to increase. And Trump suing over to access to watch the ballot counting. So there were some places where Republicans couldn't get in to watch ballot counting, which is against the law. And that's what Trump's suing about. Trump's going to be suing in Pennsylvania. Jay Sekulow, I just heard earlier, and he's up and running. And they're going. They're going at it. So this isn't going to be over. Even if somebody says it's over in the next day or two. You got all these lawsuits you got to get through here. Okay, this is brutal. But like we've been saying, this is an existential battle for the heart and soul of the United States. So I'm glad they're fighting. Because it's worth the fight, isn't it? The way you're feeling right now, all your consternation, your stress, you're upset, your madness, your brokenheartedness. Maybe for some of you it's elation, whatever. But for those of you that are just horrified of the thought of Joe Biden being president of the United States, i.e. Kamala Harris, then you should want the fight. The country's worth the fight. Not for me. I'm thinking about my kids and their kids and your kids and other people's kids. I'm thinking about our posterity as America just begins just trying to run down this road to desolation, run down the road to national perdition. And embracing more and more socialist, leftist, Marxist, anti-life, anti-God agenda. And Joe Biden, is he the king of it? No. That's why I think Nancy Pelosi just a few weeks ago was saying, yeah, we need to have a special commission. And how do we enact the 25th Amendment, which is removing the president from their position, an acting president from their position based on physical health, mental health? Well, you think that was about Trump? No. That was about Biden. Then you got Kamala Harris, the least popular Democrat candidate in the entire primary is the vice president, and Nancy Pelosi for the time being as the Speaker of the House. That's like Beelzebub land there. Crazy. So we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about Wisconsin, some things going on there. Something that happened at about 4 in the morning in Wisconsin. It's crazy. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Wednesday, November 4th, which we already said. And it's like, there's no way this election is going to be done on November 3rd, unless there's some huge Trump landslide, and there wasn't. And but some things out there. Listen, I've got some other notes. I've been just inundated in this stuff, obviously, for a while. I really would like a vacation one of these days soon. So Trump's demanding a recount in Wisconsin. You know, you had the mess in Pennsylvania. Listen, remember, that was their new law. This is why, you know, the fix is in here and why lawsuits need to happen. I mean, I wish we didn't have to do all this, but we have to. The union is worth it. Okay. Ballots received by 5 p.m. this Friday, November 6th. They had to be postmarked by 8 p.m. yesterday in Pennsylvania. But as long as we receive them by 5 p.m. this Friday, we'll count them. That's November 6th. Unless there's no postmark. However, if the postmark's illegible or something's off, they're going to treat it as if it's okay. So they're basically, it doesn't really matter if there's no postmark or if it's illegible. And we're just going to assume you were trying to do the right thing. And we're going to assume because you said to go. And that's why all day yesterday you could be thinking, and I wouldn't be against you thinking this. Okay, as all the votes roll in, that just tells them how many votes they need. And this is a lot of people talking about this in the middle of the night. 1, 2, 3 a.m. Eastern time. Boom. Got to stop counting. Hold on. Timeout. We had a water main break over here and all these other issues. And so timeout. If you thought this was going to be easy, we were misinformed. No, this isn't going to be. Has it been easy in 4 years? It has not. Just expect the exact same thing. Because of Trump's style, it's just Trump derangement syndrome's real. Okay. It's on both sides, but predominantly on the left, obviously. And so it's just, you go, I don't understand. This isn't rational. You're right. It isn't rational because there's spiritual forces behind all of this and the spiritual forces of darkness. And like Charlie Kirk said a couple months ago, Donald Trump is the defender, the bodyguard for Western civilization. And I know that sounds like hyperbole. I actually don't think it's hyperbole. Now, I would agree with that statement, not on a qualitative basis. Like I think Donald Trump's like Superman. But on a quantitative basis, the fact that he takes the positions he has and stands where he has puts him in the position of being the bodyguard for Western civilization between the radical left and Western civilization without him having to be, you know, Jesus. So I totally agree with that. Okay. Here's some positives, believe it or not. Big Hispanic moves to Trump in Florida and Texas. Trump picked up, he gained in every demographic. Steve Dace and others have been talking about this, that Trump is kind of changing the landscape for Republicans in the future, if they're smart enough to pick up on it, because he gained in literally every demographic, plus four black men, plus four in black women. He was up in every demographic except white men, where he was already relatively strong. But that's all good. That's the working man movement. So the working man down on the street, just plain guy, working man, you know, the, which for years has been assumed that, oh, that's the Democrat Party's for you, the working man. No, they're not. No, they're the elitists. Okay. The Republican Party, which has plenty of elitists, but we need to deal with that. No, the Republican Party and a person like Donald Trump, that's why you see these massive rallies and people coming out, regular folks, deplorables, God, guns, all that kind of stuff. Farming. They like beef jerky. You know, Chick-fil-A, barbecue, country music, rock and roll, whatever. You know, deplorables. So he picked up across the board on the demographics. Fascinating. Lindsey Graham survived. That was a big deal. By 11 points, he survived. And then let's get this. Here in North Carolina, Tom Tillis, who's a rhino, beat Cal Cunningham, who was imploding. The most, listen. The most expensive Senate race in U.S. history. Just guess how much money they had spent on this race. One Senate seat in the U.S. Senate, 100 senators, two per state. A little civics lesson for you. That's a freebie. Two per state, and they spent combined $282 million. That's about a quarter of what was spent in Trump-Hillary. You know, billion plus. For one Senate seat, which shows you the depth that this power of this federal government goes, because the forces of evil and on the left in general know we have to have control of the Senate in order to radically, fundamentally transform the United States of America. So we're willing to spend close to a third of $1 billion, $282 million in little old North Carolina, to win the Senate seat, and they lost, which is great. Okay. So what if Biden wins? Remember, the Senate is right now looks like it's going to be held in control of the Republicans. That's a huge deal. So that'll be gridlock and awesome. If the Democrats actually took the Senate and Biden wins the White House, i.e. Kamala, then to me, that's like Armageddon. I'm going to listen a lot more attentively every day to hear Gabriel's horn. Okay. Cause that would just be, you would see a radical transformation, like a gender transformation of the United States of America in less than 4 years. It'd be totally crazy. Okay, Wisconsin. And all right, let me say this. I'm just all over the map, okay? So just stick with me, hopefully. Just let me just speak this into you. If you're freaking out, and by 3 a.m, I'm like, okay, I got to go to bed. And this is a mess, and the country's a mess right now, okay? You've got two very distinct sides fighting for the heart and soul and the future of the nation. So this is a fight. This is a major fight. So if you've been apathetic before, we're talking about the future, not just your future, but your kids and your grandkids. What kind of America are they going to inherit? What are we going to leave for our posterity? This is a huge fight. But if your house is completely messed up right now, then I would encourage you to take a long, hard look at it and go, okay, maybe the foundation of my house is sand and it's not the rock, because this is the tension of the Christian life. Welcome to the deal. This is the deal. Okay? We live in the here and the now, and it's a mess, and it's only going to get worse. Okay? We might have some periods where we come up for air and things look bright for a little bit, but we know the trend lines based on scripture is down. Okay, until the man of lawlessness, I'm not going to get into eschatology, what happens when, but the man of lawlessness is coming, all hell breaks loose, and then you have the final judgment, Armageddon, and a kingdom of heaven comes down to earth, city of God, all that, okay? So we know that there's a major trend line, and then an off-the-cliff kind of thing. In the meantime, we're sitting there going, okay, this is a real bummer, despondent. I was talking to a friend today earlier who lives in Arizona, and he just broken. And borderline despondent, because I don't think we ever pictured ourselves having to deal with this kind of a situation. You know, and I go, ah, Stevie, in time, that sounds hyperbole ridiculous. Really? Okay. Really? It's 2020. Have you checked lately to see what life has been like this year? So I just don't think I never really pictured myself actually having to deal with that. I thought that was, you know, it's somewhere out there. But when somewhere out there comes a little closer and starts to burn the edges of your clothes, then you're like, whoa, okay, where'd that come from? And that's what I think we're starting to experience. And we just didn't I think we all assumed that that's not really going to touch us, is it? I mean, is that now? I don't want it to be now. Let it be later. No, I think it's coming a lot closer than we thought. So make sure your house is built on the rock, Jesus Christ, not sand, which is the world and worldliness. And then this is a real question for all of us to be about our Father's business. We are dual citizenship, okay? We're citizens of the United States and we're citizens of the kingdom. Your first and foremost citizenship is in the kingdom, not in the United States. But the United States matters because it's made up of people, okay? And where people are, that matters. Matters to me, matters to you, matters to the Lord. So you have this tension because part of me wants to go back to my old days of abandonment theology. I read the end of the book. We win. Who cares? Let it all burn. I'll be over here. I'll share the gospel. I'll disciple some people and all that other stuff, the world stuff. I'm going to go join the Mennonites or I'm going to move to Pennsylvania somewhere. Get me out of here. But no, we're not left with that option. But then our only other option isn't just to engage in the political, social, moral battles of the day. It's just to care for people and to provide hope and to try to make society better, which sometimes we do through the political process. And sometimes we do just how you live and how you're generous and how you impact other people's lives. So are you about your Father's business or are we solely concerned with our citizenship in the United States? The answer is it should be both. But you can't get that out of whack, which is easy to do, especially in an environment like right now. Okay, so remember that. Okay, Trump campaign demands a full recount in Wisconsin, which they certainly can. Demanded a full recount in Wisconsin Wednesday, where former Vice President Joe Biden holds a thin lead of just under 21,000 votes. Quote, despite ridiculous public polling used as a voter suppression tactic, Wisconsin has been a razor-thin race, as we always knew that it would be. Trump campaign manager Bill Stepien wrote in a statement, there have been reports of irregularities in several Wisconsin counties, which raised serious doubts about the validity of the results. Wisconsin offers yet another case illustration where Tuesday's results have so far contradicted their doomsday prophecy for Republicans that predicted Biden would win the state by a wide margin. According to state polling aggregate Real Clear Politics, Biden was favored to win the state by nearly 7%. Reuters published a poll on Monday showing Biden winning by 10%. Biden leads as of the writing of this by less than 1%. With more than 98% of precincts reporting, Trump carried the Midwestern battleground by just under 23,000 votes in 2016. And look at this, if you're on Facebook Live, look at this. See this little picture I put up here? It's showing during the day and the votes going up. Now the votes are being counted. And then all of a sudden right here, about 3 a.m., there's a vertical leap for Joe Biden. And he goes into first place in Wisconsin. A vertical leap at 3 a.m. Like somebody dropped off a big old bucket of votes. And there's places where he got 100%. Come on. We'll be right back. Hey, bring the music down, please, Ken. We're going to jump right. Rudy Giuliani's talking in Philadelphia right now.
Folks, you have to be ahead to win, for a Republican to win here. How many votes do we have to be ahead?
Rudy Giuliani in Philadelphia.
400,000 is not enough. With 80%+ counted, I think there's only 14% of the vote to go. Do you think we're stupid? You think we're fools? You know something? The Democrats do think you're stupid, and they do think you're fools, and that's why you get called deplorable and chumps. It's over. All right, I'm Rudy Giuliani wrapping things up here.
Okay, so that's Rudy Giuliani. You know, this is far from over. You know, Fox News calling Wisconsin and Michigan today for Biden, but lawsuits are pending. Lawsuits are already in place. This is going to be a street fight with a couple of New Yorkers and their team. So you got Trump and you got Rudy. Rudy was on the show like a week and a half ago. I'm going to try to get him back on so I can reach out and try to get Rudy back on the show to give us an update. Although if he's in the middle of all this, you know, obviously Rudy's a tough dude, another New Yorker, a prosecutor. He's been around the block a few times. And so it's going to be fascinating to watch that to see what happens. But no matter what you hear today, this isn't over because the lawsuits have to go forward. And that's just not going to, and it doesn't, you got to remember the timing here, okay? Because right now you've got November 3rd. It's the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November. That's the deal constitutionally. Do you know what's next? What's next is the electors meet in their individual states, and then that information that comes up in early December, and then it's in the House, and then the House goes through, the Congress goes through the electors, and then reports it all. And then that's why we have, we wait until January 20th to actually inaugurate a president, re-inaugurate or inaugurate a new one. So this, it's just because Fox News and NBC or whatever calls it, doesn't mean it's over, because the wheels are grinding, okay? This is a process. Even if there had been a clear winner last night, that's based on the numbers and the votes and yep. But constitutionally, there is a process in place, okay? So it's not like on November 5th or November 6th or this Friday or next Monday, constitutionally, it's over, because it isn't. There's time for lawsuits, really, throughout the whole month of November, unfortunately. Sorry to tell you, but that's the deal. It doesn't, until the electors vote, it's not solidified, okay? So this is a moving target right now. So just, I mean, I would say, and we'll pray together after the end of the show here on Facebook Live, we will pray for justice and truth and discernment and wisdom and whatever peace we're bold enough to cry out for this nation. Because if this reverses course and through the court system, and imagine, get your Portland, Seattle, Antifa, BLM Inc., protests gone wild memory kicked in here. And imagine this stuff all ends up with a federal lawsuit or something that goes to the U.S. Supreme Court. And the U.S. Supreme Court, like in 2000, they don't want to, but let's say that it gets there and they end up having to make a decision that's going to affect or determine the outcome of the election. And what if it's a 5-4 vote? And the four votes include John Roberts, who's no longer the swing vote. And the five includes Amy Coney Barrett, who Trump just nominated and in the Republican Senate just confirmed, literally last week. Now imagine there's already gas, there's already lumber, everything's ready to go. And if that were to happen, God help us, because it will get remarkably ugly, I think. I think it'll get remarkably ugly. So, wow, just nutty. So it's scary stuff, okay? So let's be prayerful. Let's be people that have the access to the peace that surpasses all understanding. If you're in Christ, through the Holy Spirit, you have access to that. So we can be determined. We can be concerned. We shouldn't be fearful. I'll use the word fearful because I'm fearful for the state of the nation and its future, which means I'm concerned about that for my kids and everybody else's kids as well, because there's a real human toll for all of this beyond the 61 million babies we've allowed to be killed already. So this is a really serious deal. So you need to be in prayer mode as a Christian and in fighting mode. I don't mean literally, but mentally, emotionally, politically, culturally, in defense mode of this nation, which we're trying to form a more perfect union, okay? It's not perfect. We all need to be willing to admit that. But even with all her faults, it's the greatest country in the history of the world. House Democrats expecting to increase their majority get shocked by Election Day losses. They'll keep their majority but won't look the way they had hoped. While the presidential election hangs in the balance Wednesday morning, House Democrats received an Election Day shock, losing at least 6 seats, potentially more, as the votes continue to be counted. Projections that Democrats would win a dozen seats in the House of Representatives and now several Republican incumbents proved completely wrong. Politico's Jake Sherman and Anna Palmer wrote in their morning newsletter today. Both Democrats and Republicans expected the Democratic House majority to expand. It didn't. Republicans won upset victories over several Democratic incumbents and now could gain as much as 10 seats in a year. The media raised the possibility they'd lose as many as 15 or more. So what do we do with polls? Here's an example. Two points. That's what you do with polls, because now apparently all the polls are in the tank, part of the cabal with the left media, big tech, and now the polling companies. And so people are like, now think about this for a second. This is wild. I'm just going to talk about this for a couple minutes and we'll be done. How do you win a presidential election with a candidate who's clearly starting to lose his mind, dementia, whatever, who never comes out, does limited events, takes no questions, and then he can actually become the president of the United States? How's that happen? Because you have the entire cabal is the campaign. Control of information, attacking the president, 95% negative stories on the president for years. And so you got Democrats in the political system. You have the mainstream media. You have a good chunk of Twitter. Then you have Google, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, controlling all that kind of stuff. Now you have throw all the pollsters in there because they have no clue how to find Trump voters. And is that on purpose or is that because they're ignorant? Throw some fraud in there. Throw what's been going on for the last 4 years with the president. Russia, collusion, hoax, COVID, yada, 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 yada. And I sit there and go, yeah, okay, this is making a lot of sense, actually. And so is it about Joe Biden? Nope. What's behind it? Because there's going to be a war inside the Democrat Party because you got the new blood, AOC, Talita Shahib, Ilhan Omar, and all of them, the new Green Deal, abortion up until the moment of delivery. And then after, well, you know, we'll let the doctor and the mom talk about it, whether we want to, you know, let the baby just die over there in the corner, smother it, whatever. That part. And then the old Democrat Party, which pretty much doesn't exist anymore. Nancy Pelosi, but they've pushed left. So you've got, that's going to be a major warfare there. But we're living in times where you could have a guy that could be president that really didn't run. There are all kinds of things that ran for him, in lieu of him, despite him, despite his running mate being literally the most liberal senator in the Senate based on her voting record, even more liberal than Bernie Sanders, and the least popular of the entire Democrat field in the primary. And she's the vice president? Now, you should be scratching your head with all this stuff going, okay, none of this. I mean, it makes sense, but it doesn't. And as a nation, how do we get ourselves here? Idolatry, ignorance, lack of civic understanding, almost no understanding of history, just massive ignorance. And then it reminds me of Nazi Germany. Make the lie big and tell it often. And sooner or later, everybody will believe it. Oh, yeah, fossil fuels, got to get rid of that. Oh, yeah, the woman's right to choose. Reproductive health care. Yeah. Okay, gender for an eight-year-old. Okay, thanks, President Biden. Yeah, gender, you know, if they want to be, if they want to switch genders, that's okay. And then you just over and over and over and over again, and people that lack wisdom and discernment because they don't have the Holy Spirit, which is the vast majority of Americans, are just like sheep to the slaughter. But this is a story that's already been written for mankind. Remember that? It's already been written. Old Testament points to it. New Testament spells it out. Revelation gives us all we need to know. And Jesus told us, be ready. It's coming. You can't avoid it. You know the hit is coming. You know the darkness is coming. You know the evil is coming. Pay attention to the signs. Be aware of the seasons. Be busy about your Father's business. Because when he shows up, it's going to be like a thief in the night. You just won't know it. So will we be found? Will we be found faithful to the calling? Do you think, now this is a tough question, I'm going to leave you with this. Do you think God cares more about America, the nation, or Americans as individuals made in the image of God? Who, like C.S. Lewis said, none of them are a mere mortal. You've never met a mere mortal, C.S. Lewis said. Every single person you've ever met, every single person in the history of the world, today and in the future, will either be an everlasting splendor or an eternal horror. One or the other, every single one of them. United States, that'll be gone. Tech giants, gone. Money, gone. International relations, gone. All gone. What's going to last? Only souls. That's all. Only souls. So let's not get our priorities out of whack. Do not build your house in the sand. Build it on the rock. And invest in things that the moth, the fire, and the storms will not destroy. Invest in the kingdom. Be good stewards of what God's given us now. Absolutely. Fight for liberty and freedom now because those come right out of the image of God. Absolutely. Because it affects other people, affects your neighbors, affects your kids. Yes, it affects you too. Love your neighbor as yourself. God never says not to love yourself. You got to take care of yourself. You take care of your neighbors. You take care of your family. I engage because I care about the Lord. I love the Lord and I love people. I try to love people well. I often don't do it well. But that's the call, Christian. The game is afoot. Are you ready to be an impact player? This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.